fickleness and jealousy are two of the greatest enemies of spiritual maturity. If we're fickle, we can't figure where we're going, here or there, what church we want to belong to. Or I see people jumping from one church to another. They never settle in. They never get rooted. They never get into the storehouse of where they're planted. And then people get jealous. They get jealous of this ministry and that ministry. They get jealous of people in the church, and there's a division. The most horrible things for Christian maturity and development.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 19 and 20.
When you're not able to speak up for what you believe, because the society won't let you, that means the atmosphere, Satan is now blinding, and he's now capturing. What we see here is such a clamping down on opinions of others and not able to speak your opinions. Even though somebody might be vehemently against your faith and against what you believe, that's fine. That's the area of ideas. That's the area of back and forth and coming to a meeting of the minds. But when there's no ability to speak your mind, when there's no ability to do that, when there is that fickleness in the heart and in the mind of people, it is a sad situation. And here, as David is pleading, and as David is not demanding that, but he's giving them the choice to come back and join him. To me, and even Amasa, who led the command of the army that came against David. Notice David is reaching out to this one. And when you're a godly person, you reach out to everyone. You don't shut them down. It's only when you're in some frame of mind where the enemy, where Satan is dominating, where you want to shut down anybody that has an opposing opinion. And so here David, he's reaching out to Amasa. And you wonder, well, wait a minute. Why would he do that? Well, it could be just to show Joab. It doesn't necessarily say, but it could be to show Joab who's in charge. Yeah, you may be able to exhort me, Joab, David might say, or even rebuke me, Joab, but you're not in charge. I'm in charge. Or possibly, we don't know, it doesn't say that David knew that Joab was the one that thrust the spears through Absalom, who was hanging, remember, hanging from the tree with his hair caught in the tree? Possibly, if he knew that Joab was the one that really put the spears in his son, and then Joab's servants finished his son off. After David had said, treat him kindly, you know, that's another whole deal. Well, maybe in that sense, he was retaliating, in a sense, to just show Joab, you are not in charge, you're not going to get your way, you're not as important in this kingdom as you think you are. It could be that. Well, we go on and notice this. Then Shimei. So here they're crossing the Jordan. And then Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who was from Baharim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants were with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept crossing the ford to bring over the king's household and to do what was good in his sight. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan. Now remember, Shimei is the guy when David was leaving town because of Absalom's coup. Shimei is the one that cursed him, throwing rocks at him, saying, "Your blood has come upon you," and just, you know, saying some really nasty things about David. So now here he is. Absalom's dead. David's now in charge, crossing over the Jordan. And he said to the king, verse 19, "Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king came out from Jerusalem, so that the king should take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come today, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Should not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David then said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king over Israel today?" And the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." Thus the king swore to him. Now, it is very interesting. I think at this point, again, David, being a broken, contrite man, being a different man than he was. You know, after God, remember, judgment came upon the house of the Lord because of his sin and upon David, that sons would die, the sword would not leave Jerusalem, or not leave David's kingdom. There would be bloodshed, and that's what's happening. And David is being greatly humbled. He's a broken man. And notice how he shows forgiveness. He shows forgiveness toward Shimei. Now, a little later, because you don't know if the person is truly repentant or not, and there's a later time where he'll pass the baton to his son Solomon to watch Simeon, just to see that really his contrition is true. And you see that, but David does forgive him at this point. And yet, one of his men, Abishai, he wants to take his head off. He wants to go over there and kill him. You know, it's interesting that David is a type of Jesus Christ. He's a type of Christ for forgiveness. And I think Abishai, he's a type of all of us. He's a type of our flesh. You know, I see this situation, I want to go, "Hey, put that guy down, man. He nothing but trouble." You see, in my flesh, I want to retaliate. But you see, Christ in me, Christ wants to forgive. I mean, Jesus, what did Jesus say to those that were putting him to death? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And then that first martyr there, Stephen, what did he say as they were stoning him? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." He's mimicking his Savior. I mean, so often we're ready to retaliate. We're ready to bring down. We don't want to forgive. We want to do harm to one that has done harm to us. But you know, it's not the way that the Lord would have us. And I think here, if anything, I mean, David, he's not a perfect type of Christ, but here in this, he is. And I think Abishai, pretty much like our flesh, isn't it? Well, he goes on, verse 24, "So you find Shimei now in the kingdom, he's forgiven. But Mephibosheth, remember the son of Jonathan, that David said to Joab, 'Is there anyone in the kingdom of Saul's household that I can do good to?' And he said, 'Well, there's Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan.' And so he brought Mephibosheth to him, and he said, 'Mephibosheth, I want to do you well. You can eat at my table all the days of your life.' And so when David, when that rebellion took place and David was leaving town, remember Ziba came to David and said, and he brought him all the stuff, you know, the food stuff and everything else to help David in this fleeing from Absalom. And David said to Ziba, who was caring for Mephibosheth, 'Where is your master?' You're the servant. Where's your master? And he said, well, my master said, hey, now the kingdom can return to me because your son has rebelled. So he stayed back with Absalom. He was lying through his teeth. And David said, okay, everything that I gave to Mephibosheth of Saul is now yours. But now Mephibosheth shows up. Notice this in verse 34. The son of Saul, or actually the grandson of Saul, it was Jonathan's son, he came down to meet the king, and he had neither cared for his feet nor trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. And it was when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, oh, my lord, the king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, and I will that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame. Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord, the king. But my lord, the king, is like an angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but dead men before my lord, the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king? So the king said to him, why do you still speak of your affairs? I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land. And Mephibosheth said to the king, let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come safely to his own house. So kind of interesting. Now David's getting a different story from Mephibosheth that he'd gotten from Ziba. And he got one side of the story. And I think David was a little bit too trusting of what Ziba said. And I think he acted maybe a little bit too hastily in the heat of the moment. Remember, he was leaving. And I'm sure a lot of things were going through David's mind. And here Ziba shows up and he says that Mephibosheth is a betrayer of you. But in reality, Ziba was deceiving and what he was saying. And now Mephibosheth tells the other side of the story. Isn't that what Proverbs says? Maybe that's why David's son Solomon wrote Proverbs 18:17. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Now, David, he realizes that, you know, he was only told part of the story. And so what he does is he basically splits the inheritance. And thus, David did keep his word to Ziba. Okay, I give you Saul's possessions. But at the same time, it was a rebuke to Ziba for his duplicity, where he didn't tell the whole truth. And so he gave the other half to Mephibosheth. But, you know, I like what Mephibosheth says. And you go, well, what did he really mean that? Was he just kind of pandering to David and saying, I don't need anything. Give it all to Ziba. You, king, you're all I need. I know that you're safe, and I just want to be around you. I just want to be around your kingdom. You think he was pandering, or you think that was true? I like what he said. He's saying, I longed when I couldn't move because I'm lame. I long more for you, king, than for your possessions, for what you gave me. And you know, that's part of the Psalms, isn't it? Remember in Psalm, when we talk about the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, Psalm 84:10, a day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell or to have the good life in the tents of the wicked. That's basically what Mephibosheth is parroting that. I'd rather be with you, Lord, than all the wicked people in the world and all that they have. Well, he goes on, verse 31, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, remember, he helped out David as well when David was fleeing. He had come down from Rogalim, and he went on to the Jordan with the king to escort him over the Jordan. And Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed in Mahanaim. That's two camps, the camp of Jacob in the camp of the Lord, when Jacob saw the angel of the Lord there, for he was a very great man, or he had great wealth. And the king said to Barzillai, "You cross over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me." And Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I yet to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I sustain, or can I distinguish between good and bad, or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink?" He said, "I'm so old, I can't see, I can't hear, I can't taste, you know, all these things. Or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Why should I slow you down, David? Your servant would merely cross over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with this reward?" So he goes on and he says, "Please let your servant return that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant, Chimham," and something that was his son, but from I think 1 Kings 3, and you could read that on your own. "Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what is good in your sight." And the king answered, "Chimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight, and whatever you require of me, I will do for you." All the people crossed over the Jordan, and the king crossed too. The king then kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. So here was a great man, a wealthy man. And notice what he does. He uses his wealth to support David. What a New Testament thing to do, isn't it? To support the work that God is doing through the man of God. Remember, the Bible says, "Don't lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust will corrode and decay, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And there's that reward in heaven. Well, that's what Barzillai does. We end off here. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel accompanied the king. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, "Why had our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over the Jordan?" Then all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is a close relative to us, why then are you angry about this matter? Have we eaten at all from the king's expense, or has anything been taken for us?" But the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "We have 10 parts in the king. Therefore, we also have more claim on David than you. Why then did you treat us with contempt? Was it not our advice first to bring back our king?" Yet the words of the men of Judah were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. This is just amazing to me. Just not only are people fickle, but then jealousy. Jealousy in the camp. It's just amazing. Fickleness and jealousy are two of the greatest enemies of spiritual maturity. If we are fickle, we can't figure where we're going, here or there, what church we want to belong to. Or I see people jumping from one church to another. I see people going place to place. They never settle in. They never get rooted. They never get grounded. They never give into the storehouse of where they're planted. And then people get jealous. They get jealous of this ministry and that ministry. They get jealous of people in the church, and there's a division. It's two of the most horrible things, I think, for Christian maturity and development. Now, they first hesitated, remember, the fickleness, to return to follow David, which was the best thing for them. Now look what's happening. Now jealousy between the tribes over who has a greater part of David, who is most honored in David's sight. And that competitive spirit, that competition, we find sets the stage. and the nation of Israel. It sets the stage in the life of a Christian. It's a horrible stage set for division, and ultimately, you'll see it in Israel next chapter, civil war, and ultimately and eventually, the two nations of Israel, they're divided. And they're divided until the captivity, the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity. And they're never, ever reunited again until Ezekiel, until the last days, till the two sticks become one, just like they are now, today, our day and age. 1948, Israel became a nation. 1967, they regained Jerusalem. It's an amazing thing, the Bible and prophecy. I just leave you with, just be careful about being fickle, being jealous. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for the work of your Spirit. Lord, your love, your grace, your goodness in our lives. And Lord, I know before we were believers, Lord, we were up and down, we were sideways. Lord, we were so inconsistent in so many things, in our relationship with our family, in our relationship with others. On the job, we were undependable. In friendships, we gravitated to one or the other, whoever thought most highly of us, and we would always pretty much just try to see who was mostly for us, and we would gravitate to them. Lord, so much inconsistency. But Lord, we've come into the truth of the Word of God and being born again by the Spirit, and your Holy Spirit has been given to us to testify of Jesus Christ and to develop a Christ-like character within us. And so, Lord, I pray that as your Word is spoken to each one of us tonight, Lord, that we would take heed in whatever area in our life, Lord, we need to bring into focus, and we need to ask you to change us. We need to repent of, Lord, please grant us the grace to do just that. And Lord, we thank you so much for your Word. Lord, you exalt your Word above your name. And why do you do that? Because your Word speaks of who you are and speaks of your name, your character, your attributes. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 19 and 20. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 20 and 21. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.